Well, I think in life there is such a thing as perfect timing. Charles Guerin has been director of the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York for the past 3 months. It is a brand new job, but he's taken the reins as a landmark exhibit is now open and the museum celebrates its 50th anniversary.
He is a terrific and wise man. A Chicago native, Guerin served as executive director of the University of Arizona Museum of Art from 2000 to 2012. Where he created and endowed the institution's archive of visual art.
Previously, Guerin was a commissioner of Wyoming State Parks and Cultural Resources from 1998 to 2000, and the executive director of the University of Wyoming Art Museum in Laramie from 1986 to 2000. Joining us to discuss the Hyde, we welcome Charles Guerin to the roundtable. Thank you so much for hosting us this morning and for being with us. This is a delight.
It is. It's a delight for us, too. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you very much. So we've been talking a lot about O'Keeffe and the Lake George Gears and then going west. You were west and you came east. Mm-hmm. So what brought you here? And in the end, what was it about this institution and this the possibilities?
Wait. I think I know, Joe. He met a 9-foot rattlesnake in his yard in Arizona.
The size of the rattlesnake just grew from 7 feet to 9, but it felt like a 9-foot rattlesnake.
Well, that'll do it.
It was really the institution itself. I mean, those of us in the field know the Hyde. The Hyde is a well-known institution, like the Frick, like the Clark, like the Gardner. And even though oftentimes people say, well, it's a hidden treasure, but to those of us in the field, we know this institution, and we know it for its great collections. We know it for the wonderful exhibitions it's done in the past. And when the position became available and someone suggested that I take a look, I was delighted to do that, and I was delighted at what I found when I came here. A very strong and dedicated staff, an amazingly involved and engaged board of directors, and a wonderful facility. So what more can you ask? And
right. Well, one thing I did notice from your bio is that you know how to raise money. Mm-hmm. Now, how important is it? Mrs. Hyde dies. She leaves this institution. Can you make it just on that, or do you have to raise a lot of money yourself?
Oh, we have to raise money. I mean, I don't know of many institutions that don't rely very heavily on raising funds, and so it's very important that we do that, because earned income is only a very small part of our revenue, very small endowments. So the lion's share of what pays the bills every year and what allows us to do exhibitions like Modern Nature is a very aggressive fundraising strategy. And we're historically, this institution has been very effectively engaged in that process, and I intend to continue that tradition.
Teach me, how do you do it?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
Fundraising is friendraising. Very rarely does one actually ask somebody for money. It is getting people engaged in the institution, building friends and relationships for the institution, developing and defining for people the needs that you have in the institution, and exciting programs like this one, and people step up.
One of the things that struck me about looking at your partners in this is that so much of it is community-based. So much of it is from your backyard. I mean, yes, there is money that comes from foundations. Yes, there is money that comes from elsewhere in the country. But so much of what you do is supported by the community, which I think says a lot.
Absolutely.
About what this museum does and how important it is to the region.
Right. You know, museums really are, successful museums at least, are very community-oriented. We are not what we used to be 30 years ago. Particularly art institutions are totally focused on community service, what we're here to do and how we support the community. And when people in the community who are in a position to support you, when you can tell your story about what you're doing for the community, they also are doing for their community. And so they look at you and they say, you know, I like what you're doing, and I'll be there when you need me.
So what are you doing for the community? I mean, is it just a matter of getting people to come to Glens Falls, to come to the Hyde, or is it more than that?
Well, it's a lot more than that. I mean, certainly that's a big part of it. That sort of fits into our quality of life and economic development contribution that we make to this community. Everybody that comes to this town from New York City or from Albany or whoever, they're going to buy lunch, they're perhaps going to stay in a hotel. All of that impacts the money that comes into this city, whether it's privately or through tax revenue. But in addition to that, we do a great many educational programs that allow children in the schools, senior citizens, the full range of this community to participate in programs that are related, in many cases, to the exhibitions, that provide a different educational experience, a cultural experience. And it's very important. As I walk around this community and people say, well, what are you doing here? And I say, oh, I work for the Hyde. They go, oh, I know. I went there when I was a kid. You know, and I'm talking to people that are 40, 50 years old.
Sure.
Not 51, but 50 years old, who came here as children and through the programs that we have designed and maintained over the years to support education in the schools and cultural education and visual arts education.
Now, Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, for one last thing here. When Joe and I, Joe was vice president for news at WAMC and me running the place, theoretically, there is always somebody who comes and says, I don't like that. I wish you hadn't done that. Mm-hmm. That's dirty. Mm-hmm. What do you do? I mean, how strong are you that you're able to say nicely, go away?
Well, I don't ever say to people, go away. But what I do try to do is explain what we do and why we do it. You know, art can be controversial at some times. The content that artists are mirrors of our culture. The work that artists do broadly are reflective of their view of the society. And sometimes that work deals with parts of the society that people wouldn't necessarily want to look at. It is what art does. Art is a commentary on the world that we live in. And so if somebody is offended by something that we do, we just simply try to explain the aesthetic value and the cultural value of that material. And as we make decisions about what we exhibit in the galleries, we have that in mind. We don't do things just to do them. We do them because they're significant artistic statements. And if something happens to be controversial to one person to another, we know how to explain it, and we do explain it.
And that's sort of that is the job of a director of an art museum.
Exactly.
And as an institution, yeah. All across the board. When you think about what the holdings of this museum, and we touched on this, Alan touched on this in asking Aaron questions about the lending process and how many of the paintings that were surrounded, the O'Keeffe paintings that were surrounded by this morning. But when you look at this museum's holdings of the Rembrandt and the Renoir and the Van Gogh and Cézanne and Degas, and the list goes on, you are, much of that work is sought after from other museums in the country. So you become a great lender. And obviously that gives you a great step, and it's why so many people recognize and know the Hyde. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that, though? Because that's why so many of us come, mm-hmm, as children and see those works, and what brings people through the door as well.
Well, we're borrowers and lenders, and in order for a curator like Aaron to put together a show like this, you have to look at what exists, okay? Mm-hmm. Particularly when you're dealing with an individual artist, an important artist who's deceased. You look at what exists, and you pull from that. So if you're borrowing from an institution, you have to also be able to seriously consider a loan. And sometimes you say yes, and sometimes you say no. I'll give you a good example. When Erin was putting together this exhibition, she wrote to me in Tucson and said, can we borrow George O'Keeffe's Red Kenna? And I got her request, and I looked at it, and Red Kenna had been on the road and away from our house. And our curator had planned to put it as a focal piece of a modernist exhibition that was upcoming. And so my response to Aaron was, thank you, we'd love to do it, but we can't because it's been on the road. So unfortunately, our painting from Arizona is not in this exhibition, but it's because it was out so long that we wanted to bring it back and share it with our community. So you have to look for a balance in terms of when they're away and when they're back. And there's a kind of a standard that we use in the field where we try to make sure that they're home more than they're much more than they're gone.
So here's a really stupid question from me. Does anybody ever, on either end, the lending end, when something disappears, put up a facsimile?
Rarely. Typically, what we've begun doing more often than not in the last decade or so is when somebody borrows something really important from us, we say, okay, if you want our Rembrandt, we want something equally important from your collection. Mm. So we trade. And so it's an opportunity for us to get something that our community has not seen before of equal quality. And so that's a mechanism that we're seeing more and more and more in this era. And this is good. This is really good because, you know, we don't charge for those things. We charge the expenses of creating it and shipping it, but we don't say, okay, it's going to cost you $10,000 to borrow our painting, nor does anybody else.
Have you ever heard, I'm sorry, Joe, one last question. Have you ever heard a horror story about something that happened to a painting in transit?
There are horror stories that happen occasionally. But they're very, very rare because the people who do this kind of work are amazingly careful. We condition report things before they leave. They're crated in crates that you couldn't imagine how beautiful these crates are. They're works of art in themselves. And on the other end, as soon as they come out of the box, they're condition reported again. It's very difficult to particularly with a painting, to do something really stupid with it. It has to be something really dramatic. And occasionally things happen. A truck can go off the road or there can be a fire, but they're extremely rare. I heard a statistic recently about how the government indemnifies certain major exhibitions. And in all the years that the government has been doing this, billions of dollars worth of work that's been insured through the government, there's only been $180,000 in claims.
Wow.
So it's very rare.
Charles Guerin is the director of the Hyde Collection, and it's a beautiful place, and we're so happy that you have us here this morning. Good luck in the new gig. It seems like you're quite comfortable already.
Oh, I love it. I love it here. I love the institution, and I love being in upstate New York.
Watch out for the rattlesnakes.
I know. I heard about them.
For more information on Charles and the Hyde, go to hydecollection.org. HydeCollection.org. Charles, thank you very much.
Thank you both. I appreciate being here.
You're listening to the Roundtable Live broadcast from Glens Falls, New York on WAMC.